Hey guys, welcome back. My name is Mike Hatch. I am your host, and I wanted to share with you two exciting announcements before we jump into this episode. The first is that I am doing an Empowered Manhood Men's Weekend this September 8th through the 10th. It is based on my book, Manhood, Empowered by the Light of the Gospel, where you'll get to work with myself and other like-minded men to apply the three stages of empowered manhood to your life. So learn what it means to be known by God, grown by God, and owned by God in your specific context. My aim for the Empowered Manhood Men's Weekend is to help you, number one, gain clarity around your identity. Number two, construct a plan for growth by the time you leave. And number three, identify opportunities to fulfill your God-given purpose. So we'll spend the weekend together on a beautiful, secluded 40-acre private property in Clymer, PA, nestled in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. This is going to provide a setting for rejuvenation and inspiration as you gain perspective about your life and what God might be calling you to do. You can check all the details in the show notes below. The second really exciting announcement is that we are doing an Empowered Manhood Israel Experience in September 2024. Once again, the content from my book will provide the lens through which we experience Israel together. So come with me September 3rd through the 14th, 2024, as we go to Israel and rediscover courageous masculinity, where it all began. Registration is open for this trip right now. In fact, if you register before June 3rd, you'll get a $150 discount. You can go to registernow.ittworld.com and then enter Empower24 in the tour code, where you can find out more details about the trip and register. You'll also find these links below in the show notes. All right, let's get into it.
I believe every man is far more insecure than he will ever admit. All three of us have insecurities. They might be similar, but they're different. And so when our head hits the pillow at night and we're looking at the ceiling tiles, we're going, what am I going to do if I retire? What am I going to do if I lose money? What my kid is, I got 12 months left with her before she, you know, what about that person? You know, so we all have these massive insecurities. We all have some scars from our past, you know, things that didn't go well for us, some bumps we took along the way. Relationships that are broken, things like that. And so I think there's a major like trust factor there. Like, I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know if I can tell you this, that, or the other. Or as a pastor, yes, I try to be transparent, but how transparent can I be to where now people look at me and say, why should we even listen to you? You're just as messed up as we are. You know, like, so there's all these varying factors, and Satan works overtime on guys.
Hey folks, welcome back again. My name is Mike Hatch, and I will be joined shortly by my co-host, Chris Bollinger. And, well, I'm your host, I guess. I didn't say that. Welcome back again to the second half of our interview with Jarrett Samuels, who is a pastor, a podcaster, and founder of thepursuitofmanliness.com. Today, we're going to be diving deeper into the difference between a Christian man and a godly man. And Jarrett has some incredible insights and wisdom to share from his experience in working with men on an everyday basis. And then also, there are incredible resources that he has to offer that he'll share about from his Pursuit of Manliness podcast and website and ministry. So I'm looking forward to you hearing more about all of that. So let's go ahead and dive right in. Here is the second half of our interview with Jarrett Samuels.
It sounds to me, and obviously I haven't driven to Indy and observed you preaching and working in your church, but it sounds to me like for all the beating yourself up that you did earlier, that you've continued to be an authentic guy. I mean, you don't seem to hide things from the people in your church or others. You know, if you screw up, you tell people you screwed up, that you can do better. I think that's commendable that you can do that, that you can stand up in front of people in any setting and say, look, I've got my strengths, I've got my weaknesses, and God's working on my weaknesses, and you know, and you can help me with that, and I can help you with that. I think guys need that. We need authenticity from our pastors, from our friends, from everybody. And honestly, we don't get a lot of that these days. Guys are posers. They're pretenders. They're hiding from other guys.
Well, I think it's easier to look up to someone in the secular world who's doing man things than a Christian guy. There's I don't know what it is. Yeah. It just seems less threatening, you know, whatever that is. So I'll buy his book. I'll watch his videos. I'll do the things or whatever. And you know, I've said before, there's nothing special about me. I do feel a conviction to do this. And I've said before from teaching, I don't desire to be up front. I would rather be the sound guy. I would rather be the security guy. Right. I would rather be the guy down the hall. Like I don't think I was clamoring to be the upfront guy. I told our church a few weeks ago, I said, if you ever see pictures of me on our social media, I didn't do it. Like I'm not out there saying, hey, I'm your pastor. Come talk to me. I'm not right. in the business of self promotion. You know, now doing this stuff, you have to put some stuff out there so people know that you're a real human being. But overall, you know, if you try to copy me or be there's nothing that wonderful about me except for Jesus, you know, so that's what we're going to try to get to. I hope you can learn some stuff, but I talk about like tribe. I'll never log off of a call with our guys in tribe and think, man, they're lucky to have me. I'll typically log off and think, what am I doing all day? Am I just drooling in a cup? Because these guys are on fire for the Lord. But I do feel like, man, I needed that. Like I needed to be around those guys. And in the early days of like, especially tribe, the pastors that would get in, they were the worst ones. They wouldn't do anything. And I'm like, what are you hiding? What are you hiding? You probably don't have anybody in your church who's really going to have a genuine conversation with you. And this is an opportunity and you still have to hide. You know what? Again, if we run into each other in the store, hopefully we get the same version and you say, okay, I can believe now what they're saying.
Man, when I was reaching out to churches and pastors about CLC, I experienced that same thing with pastors. It's incredible how isolated they are and don't feel like they have a place to be vulnerable and real. I think me being a pastor maybe gave them permission sometimes to open up to me when I would meet with them, especially since I wasn't connected to their church, and I was blown away sometimes by how transparent they would be in sharing certain things like that. But man, that's a shame. That really is a shame. Our pastors need to have safe places where they can be open and honest and vulnerable and show their weaknesses. But anyway, what you just said, I saw that myself.
Well, let me say that every pastor has a following, right? Even the ones that are almost disliked by the whole congregation, there's at least some old lady who says good sermon when you leave. So I think sometimes you're getting your identity and you're getting your value based on your following. So the people that say good job or the people that say nothing or whatever. And here in where I'm at in Indianapolis, it's totally different for me. This is a different climate than I've been a part of, different, very transient church, you know, as far as where they're from and things. And so I'll tell people all the time, like, we're very friendly. We're just not strong relationally. And in the early days, and that's when tribe was kind of born in the early days. And that was really unsettled. I was like, man, this is really lonely. Well, I think God had placed some of these people in my life because He knew this journey would be like this. It's the Aaron and Hur thing, right? Mm-hmm. So if you got people to your left and to your right, you know, like when I walk in on Sunday, I know I'm getting a text from a brother in South Carolina praying for me, the church, whatever. And sometimes I'll let the congregation know, like, okay, you've been prayed for by someone in South Carolina, someone in West Virginia, someone, you know, and I don't know if they realize that, recognize that, even care. But for me as a pastor, it's totally different. I don't have to get my value on a high five, hug, or handshake. You know, hopefully no hugs, but I don't have to get my value on whether you like me or not. I think that's a dangerous place to be. And when you get in that place, you'll surround yourself with people who only tell you what you want to hear. And then you'll start to believe your own hype and you get a bunch of bobbleheads around you and you'll never be any different.
Dude. Amen. Amen. So true. So let's turn our attention a little bit to the pursuit of manliness, your ministry, your website, the podcast. And one of the first things that I loved as I was looking at your website is when you click about, you've got these three big words here, and maybe you would describe them as values. I'm not sure, but you say to follow, to work, and to invest. And I'd love to hear you unpack that a little bit, if you would, for our listeners. And here's where what I love about so far with this, what you said earlier, but then also what I'm seeing exemplified in your website is, for me personally, when I really started growing as a man was when I had a shift mentally from going from pure consumer to a producer, if that makes any sense, where I started having to, okay, I'm actually going to go out. And this is that's why this podcast exists. That's why another podcast I did exists. That's why my book now exists that you had me on your podcast to talk about. I had to shift my mindset to go engage with the real world, wrestle with the thorns and thistles of this life, right? Of a fallen, sinful world. and produce and create value for others. And so I see that exemplified in your 3 points here in your website. But I'd love to hear you verbalize a little bit more about what you mean by follow, work, and invest.
I'd like to say it came out of strong conviction to come up with those words, but I looked around at other guys, what they were doing, and they seemed like they had 3 words. So I thought, okay, if I need 3 words, what would they be? And so I thought, well, first and foremost, we're going to follow Jesus, you know, which really is off-putting to some people. So I thought we're going to thin the herd right there. We're following Jesus and we'd love for you to be a part of this. I had a guy once say, I thought this was about manliness, not a Christian thing. I said, well, stick around. You might find out that your perception is not accurate, or you may say they're a bunch of weirdos. I don't want nothing to do with it. But anyhow, this is what we're doing. So we follow Jesus and we try to make it all about him because again, the three of us, as wonderful as we can be, even collectively, we're nothing to aspire to. You know, we hopefully people can learn from us, but man, if they pull the curtain back, they're like, you're a mess too. Yeah, I know. So we try to get to him. That's pretty clear. You know, like, hey, that's the ultimate goal. And that's what we're going to talk. We talk about everything. We've talked about guns, sex, whatever, everything, whatever. We love all the things that everyone else loves. We just love it within the context of a biblical worldview. And then the work part was, again, we got a lot of lazy guys. And so you go back to Genesis 2, God put Adam in the garden to work it and to keep it. And so you kind of got the plow and the sword idea there that we're going to work it and we're going to keep it, that God gave you things, gave you jobs, gave you a wife, gave you whatever, to give them back to him better, cultivate them better than you received them. I should give my wife back to the Lord better than I received her, you know, 23 years ago, whatever. And so I'm working, I'm going to keep it. And, you know, it's a lot of work. And I tell guys, that's why they pay you to go to work, because they know you won't show up if you don't get paid. So guys don't want to work and they get lazy. When you get lazy, you have too much time on your hands and nothing but sin happens. Nothing good ever comes from a guy who has unaccounted for time, who has no accountability. They'll tell you it does. I had guys push back and don't dare talk about their video games because they'll come out of their mom's basement swinging their Xbox at you. I'm saying if you are living and you're not producing, you got a problem. And so that's where the invest part is. We're going to invest in others to do the same. It's the Great Commission that, you know, if you're frustrated with your men's ministry, if you're frustrated with the culture, if you're whatever, lead a group. I say open your garage door up, put out 5 camping chairs, invite some guys over. One, you'll find out they're not going to show up. 2, when they do show up, you're going to find out it's a lot more work than you realize. And 3, it's going to feel overwhelming and you're now directly responsible to other human beings. There's a lot of people who would never do that because they'll have to lead somebody like themselves. And they go, no, I don't want to do that because I know that I won't show up as soon as my team plays or the raindrop hits or, you know, dinner's a little late. And so I think, like, when I lead groups, it's not about me. It's not come sit at my feet. It's, hey, we're going to walk through this book, or we're going to talk through, you know, Philippians, or we're going to do whatever. Today we read Philemon, 1 chapter. We could do that. So I realize, though, I have a responsibility to these guys. But when I'm with these guys, they sharpen me. And then when I'm apart from them, I'm reminded they're doing these things. So when I don't feel like getting in the word, when I feel like I don't want to do the challenge, or I'm being a crummy husband or father, I think about Clint's and Doug's and other guys. I'm like, well, he's doing it. What would I say to him right now? Man, you just walk a little different when you have a community with you. So that's what those 3 things are about. And I think it just changes everything.
Talk a little bit about tribe and what you've got going on there, because it looks like just a really cool community of guys that you've brought together that have shown up, which I'm sure has caused you to have to work harder, and like you just described.
It's good work. No.
But tell us a little bit about that. That looks really cool.
I think it was December of 2017. I made a Facebook post in our Pursuit of Manliness closed group, and I just said something like, what do you need for the following year to grow as a man of God? And one of the guys had said, I need community. And I remember I was at church late that night and I looked at it on my phone and I thought, I do too. And so I had talked to a friend about this idea. What do we get, like, father sons together? What if we, I don't know, I was coming up with another Boy Scout thing or something. I don't know. But anyhow, that idea was totally scrapped. And I thought, what if we just jump out of the plane and figure this out on the way down? And that's what happened. I immediately that night got a hold of like 4 or 5 guys and said, hey, I want to try this thing. Well, we're going to do it for, you know, I think we did it for 5 months. And I got 10 guys total to do it. I had a reading plan I come up with in like 3 minutes. I mean, I don't remember all that we did, but it was an absolute train wreck. And we had 10 guys. 10 guys.
That's great. That's great.
6 of them quit within like the first month. And it was free. It was free. So I'm down to 4. Well, one of the guys worked for me, so he couldn't go anywhere. So we had, another guy went to my church, and so he was kind of stuck. Even though some guys from church quit, he felt like he was stuck. The other guy, I had called him personally and said, will you be in? And is free. He loves free. So he said, I'm in. So we had four guys. It was terrible. And so we created a Facebook group to try to talk. It was basically me and the one guy talking to each other. I'm like, you know what? We're scrapping this. So it's supposed to be 6 months. We did five. I did it again. Now, this will tell you good. This is good leadership. Not only did I do it again, I charged money this time. Like, who does that? Like, bro, you're losing your tail on this. So I don't know. I don't remember all what happened, but I was printing like a 90 pages field guide. I mean, trees were coming to my house just offering themselves up in sacrifice because it was ridiculous. I'm shipping out stuff all over, and slowly but surely it started to grow. As it grew, and it's a 6 month session, as it grew, every session, there were a few more guys that would stay on and they would start to grow and mature, and we would attract a few more guys. And right now we're at like 160 is in this session of guys, and they're across the US and beyond, UK, Canada. We got a guy in Australia that's starting. We had a guy in Belgium. So they have like an international, but they're part of one tribe, and it just keeps growing. But I again, every 6 months, we start a new one. And so it gives guys a chance to say, okay, I'm out. Didn't want to do that. I need a break. And new guys can come on board too. And so some guys stay, new guys come, and we go from there.
What kind of feedback are you getting? Why are guys attracted to this? Why do they stay if they start getting involved in this?
I think they start for a variety of reasons, but one of them is, like me, I didn't have any community. And I knew, again, I'm doing Christian things. I'm in the Word most days. I'm praying with my wife and kids, whatever. They knew they wanted more. And what they're finding is, because it is virtual on the onset, it doesn't stay virtual, but because it's virtual on the onset, there's a major trust factor. You know, if you two guys mm-hmm. showed up today and my wife and kids are here, and you brought your wives with you or whatever, and we're all sitting here, maybe I'm not as candid when I'm not sure what she's going to think about that answer, or maybe he's going to hear it different or whatever. Right. So when you get with a bunch of guys and it's through Zoom or these challenge videos, we're asking like, what sin easily entangles you? And you'll hear guys go, I've never shared this with anybody before, but you know, okay. Right. And so what the cool thing is, when we get face to face, whether it's a hiking trip in Tennessee or Kentucky or Missouri, or we have the retreat here or whatever happens, when they show up, it's as if we've known each other forever. So the first night of the retreat, before the retreat kicks off, I'll have the tribe guys come. We can't do it anymore. We've outgrown it. But I'll have them to my house, and they'll hang out in the backyard. We'll have a couple fire pits going, some food. It's as if I've known these guys forever, and I've never been in the same environment as them. Like, man, you're taller than I thought you were. You're uglier than I thought you were. You know, whatever. But you get around them. Why? Because we've had hard conversations, and we know we're for each other. And so when you walk in, I don't got to go, so what's going on? We already know. And I think that's the hard part. You can't microwave time and engagement. And so men's ministries or men's groups, I need you to show up, but you don't want to show up, and you made excuses not to show up. And so when you come back every 3 or 4 weeks, you've missed what's going on, and we don't really know you. And then you don't, and then there's that one guy who always vomits his life on everybody. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to sound like him. So through this, it gives you this very fluid community that's constantly going. And I'm not saying it's the perfect system, because ideally face-to-face is always going to be better. It's always going to be better to be able to sit face-to-face with guys. But I'll tell them, like, I can't get guys to show up at 9 o'clock on Tuesday, but I can get a bunch of guys across the planet to get on Zoom, and we can study, you know, the book of Titus together for an hour, or we can talk about struggles or things that we're trying to, you know, overcome or whatever. And, yeah, I just think there's a trust because of the distance a little bit, you know. So, and then they see other guys saying the same thing that they're struggling with, and that's like, okay, me too.
How often do you do this? Is it a weekly thing?
So it's constantly going. So it's a 6 month window. You have a weekly challenge. So every Monday there's a challenge that goes out. And it's not like 1,000 push-ups or anything. It's like, hey, tell me about a guy who was the first guy, or tell me, you know, do this or that, whatever. There's biweekly Zoom calls, you know. Before COVID, we were already doing Zoom, so we were ahead of the curve. We flattened mm-hmm. the curve. We were ahead of the curve on Zoom. We were already doing that. We have daily reading. There's a reading plan that's mapped out for 6 months. We have a book reading we do. Mm-hmm. Again, there's just a lot of fluid opportunities. And again, when they're getting together, like I just went hiking with, I don't know how many guys, in Tennessee. They were from Texas, Florida, Iowa, Kentucky, wherever, and we all just come together, and someone walked up to us and like, are you guys all brothers or something? Like, it was so weird to see all these guys out hiking together and not jacking around and not acting like idiots. Like, we're just hiking, you know, we're making fun of each other. We're eating sunflower seeds, whatever, you know, and they're like, you guys related? Like, they just couldn't figure out what were these just regular guys doing? Like, nope. I mean, we're brothers in Christ, but they can't grasp that.
And that is cool. That is so cool. What would you say? And you've kind of said this in other words, but I wanted to ask the question because sometimes you might frame it differently or bring up a new thought. What would you say right now, in your experience in working with men, is one of the biggest challenges that they're facing, that we're facing?
I believe every man is far more insecure than he will ever admit. We have, you and I, all three of us have insecurities. They might be similar, but they're different. And so when our head hits the pillow at night and we're looking at the ceiling tiles, we're going, what am I going to do if I retire? What am I going to do if I lose my, what my kid is, I got 12 months left with her before she, you know, what about that person? You know, so we all have these massive insecurities. We all have some scars from our past, you know, things that didn't go well for us, some bumps we took along the way, relationships that are broken, things like that. And so I think there's a major, like, trust factor there. Like, I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know if I can tell you this, that, or the other. Or as a pastor, yes, I try to be transparent, but how transparent can I be to where now people look at me and say, why should we even listen to you? You're just as messed up as we are, you know? Like, so there's all these varying factors, and Satan works overtime on guys. Guys are just as emotional as women are. We just do it different. You know, we're probably more emotional. Our emotions just come out typically in unhealthy ways. At least a woman will eventually tell you what's wrong. A guy will take it to his grave. Like, he will take that to his grave and act like it's all good. And so for me, I think it's realizing, like, listen, you got a lot to offer, but you have a ton to take away. You are insecure. You will not tell me that. I will not tell you that I'm insecure. Mm-hmm. However, if we can get together and say, doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter whatever. We're here to move the right direction. I think that's a game changer. But again, I just recorded a podcast. I was talking about wives who I know are trying to get their husbands in tribe. And I said, they won't do it. They won't do it because the wife is trying to make them do it. If my wife tries to make me do it, I will definitely not do it. Okay, now I'm definitely not going to, which is bizarre and unhealthy. But I said, we're fragile and we don't like to admit it. I mean, it's easier for me to go out there and, you know, yell at the neighbor than it is for me to say, can we all pray about this right now? You know, it's easy. You know, I can go out there and do all these things, but to do something that's going to reveal vulnerability, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we realize, I think what we'll realize is we just wasted a ton of opportunity. When I started to apologize to my kids for being a terrible dad, when I started to own some stuff in my own life about my marriage and stuff, I think that's when my wife said, I think I have a different husband now. I didn't tell her that. Like, I didn't tell her, I'm different. Love me more. Respect me more. No. You have to show them over a period of time, and then they'll say, okay, there is something different about this guy.
Amen. Oh, gosh. So good. So good, Jarrett. Man, I appreciate your perspective so much. I think you're right on. So, okay, so you have your podcast. You've got the tribe and your website. There's resources on your website as well. So if guys wanted to reach out and connect with you, kind of run through the list for us, and we'll have these links in the show notes for guys to check out.
Well, the easy thing is the website, and it's an incredibly long website, thepursuitofmanliness.com. And it's like 86 letters. You can't put it on Twitter, but thepursuitofmanliness.com. There's a lot of stuff there. You can find out what this is about. Kind of figure your own thing out. Easy. I think the email might be on there too, but pursuemanliness@gmail.com. Like, to me, that's like I think it's the only notification outside of my wife's messages that I get, just so I try to stay in tune with guys. So if there is a question or something, I think I'm not good in the DM world, but I'm better in the email world. Maybe that's my age, but, yeah, just reach out, you know, if I can help in any way or whatever. If not, I understand that. So a lot of podcast episodes, that wasn't the goal. I didn't set out to record a whole bunch of them. It just kind of came, just ended up that way. And, Yeah,
Chris and I were talking, 400 plus, I think, podcast episodes. That's fantastic.
Okay, so it wasn't the plan. So I was just trying to get to 100, you know? And so it almost so
I hear
at
you,
one
yeah.
point I said I was going to reset the podcast to zero and start, and guys, just some of them lost their mind. And my point was,
really,
podcasts are like clothes you wore in high school. Okay. So when you wore them, you thought it was a good idea. You look back now and say, what were we thinking? But that's all you had. I guarantee if you look back at previous episodes, there's some
that's
of them you think,
point.
I'd like that to go away forever. And I'm the same way. There's episodes I'm like, eh, maybe you were a little too wound. Maybe you're a little too, you know, jaded or bitter. So, and then A Quiet Life kind of evolved in that, where I'd sit in my garage in a camping chair and I'd talk about something and they just ate it up. So someone said, why don't you make that audio format? I'm like, I probably do that. I can figure that out. And then the out in the garage, just kind of, again, going through scripture, it just kind of became something. So when you do three a week, for crying out loud, I mean, you can get up there pretty quick. So it's not, I'm not trying to be Joe Rogan or anything like that.
Right. No, that's great. And real quick, I forgot about that. The Quiet Life. Just briefly describe what that's about.
It's 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12. It's the idea. And we just kind of expound on that. Like, one of them was like, you know, don't be lazy, or mind your own business, or, you know, mentoring. It's just, it is about living a Christian life. That's not out there with a megaphone or a sandwich board saying, hey, look at me. And that was the idea. It was very raw, very basic, you know, just set up a camera on a tripod and I talked to it. And I just found, I think there's a lot more guys wanting to live that life than we realize, because everything in our world is like, look at me, you know, blue check. People are paying for their own blue check marks, for crying out loud. I found that out last night. So it's like, look how good I am. And I'm like, no, we're not that great. Jesus is great. We're just okay. You know, and if you like me, you can find 400 other of me's on the internet if you want. But I'm finding that a lot of guys are like, yeah, I just want to follow Jesus. I want to work hard. I want to love my family. And I don't want to depend on the government or other people for handouts. So, and we don't talk politics, but I don't know why I said the government part. But
no, I love it. I love your heart behind it, man. That is, it's beautiful. I think I see why guys resonate with you, your message, and the tribe. And man, I do too. I love your message and your heart behind it. So, Chris, any last minute thoughts or questions?
No, it was great. I really like what you're doing, Jared. It's really needed. And maybe you can set up branches around the country. But, but for now, I mean, it's great that you're getting. How many guys you say you had involved in Tribe right now?
Well, in this session, we have 160. And so, but at the end of the day, it's about the one. It really is. So we started, and forgive me, if you need to cut me off, go ahead. But we started having point man regions.
No, you're good.
So guys are in a smaller community within that community. So like, I have a guy that's over Texas because there's so many Texas guys. We have a West Coast guy. I'm international. There's a guy like Indiana, I think, has 21 guys. The point is, we're trying not to lose the guy. We want that guy to know you matter. And if you have a prayer request or you have something going on in your life, like, we're going to hear it. And you have your groups, and you have the larger group where you get to talk to guys in the UK and you're living in Alabama or whatever. But we want that guy to get it, because his address matters. And we say it all the time, get everything you can out of this, get every relationship, I think some of these relationships will go with you for life if you engage in this community. But if you sit on the sideline and watch, you're not getting a lot out of this. You just made a donation, and we don't want that. I don't want that. I want you to get every single thing you can out of this.
And how much does it cost?
It's $150 for the 6 months. Again, I'm not sure how I came up with that number, but it's been a trip to Arby's, pretty much, is what it comes out to. You know, so they pay it all up front, because as you guys know, men can check out pretty quick, and we get all hot and bothered. And so we paid all up front. But I tell them, listen, most of you guys had to ask someone before you could do this. You asked your wife, is it okay if I pay this money, or your girlfriend, or you can't have both. But you asked somebody, is it okay if I do this? I would hope on their end, they're saying, hey, what are you getting out of that? Don't you have a Zoom call or something to do at some point? We do marriage calls now.
Right.
We offer marriage calls, so we get the wives together too, which is pretty cool to see that happen. So it's growing in its own way.
That's great.
Its own way.
That's great accountability, man. We need that. And like you said before, I think that's one of the things guys are scared of, is accountability. You know, saying we're going to do something and then, oh, shoot, not I'm being held to that.
I tell you, in my life, and you guys know this is one of your own lives, the guys who told me the truth when I didn't want to hear it, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. That elder that I talked about, he grabbed me by the arm one day as I was walking out of a kid's chapel, and he said, here's what you think you did. Here's what you actually did. And he basically said, you know, the way I did the messages, I thought, you crazy guy. Did you just see what happened? All these kids high-five me. They were all hanging. And I walked to my car thinking he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm telling you what, I thanked that guy probably 5 or 6 times over the last 10, 12, 15 years for having the courage to have that conversation with me. I needed it, and I didn't even want it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, Jared. Well, man, it's been so good to have you, brother. I want to pray for you as we close out here. So let's go ahead and pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this just beautiful, amazing reminder of what the pursuit of manliness looks like, God. And thank you for reminding us the difference between a Christian man and a man of God. And Lord, I pray that that this message would be like a seed planted in our hearts, Lord, that would take root and produce fruit, Lord, and cause us, Father, to take action, to move, Lord, to follow you, to work, and to invest. God, thank you for what Jared is doing in his ministry at his church. I lift him up and just entrust him to you, God, for your provision and encouragement as he ministers to people in his church and these men from around the world, God. Thank you for calling him into this, and thank you for holding him accountable, coming back to him and saying, hey, remember when you said this? God, we praise you for your faithfulness to Jared and pray that would continue, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jared, for being with us, brother.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.